Your work week is over. Kick back and get the latest on the Colts and the NFL. This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to The Last Word. Right here on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan, I am Jeffrey Gorman. Join week in and week out the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor. Big thanks to JMV for doing what he does. Don't forget, we're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today. You make every moment more. It is time to talk about the draft choices that will be coming in about a week from now, Matt Taylor. They selected 8 very impactful players. I like that word, impactful players, when you're talking about draft choices coming in, getting the job done immediately, okay? Highlighted in that draft, 2 pass catchers at the top, in wide receiver Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati, tight end Jelani Woods from Virginia. Maytay, what did they accomplish overall with these draft picks? Because I'm going to get to this thing with a reminder again with the next pick, which is an awesome behind-the-scenes look at how the Colts are going through the draft process and offseason and in-season, for that matter. We saw it. They were happy. Chris Ballard was happy with his draft choices, the way they fell. They got their guys. So now, with those 8 guys that they got, what are they doing next season?
Well, first of all, Jeffrey, happy Friday night. It's good to be with you, and it was even better to see you in the flesh last Friday. So
wasn't that fun down at Kilroy's?
It was.
That was nice.
It was a terrific time, and I wish we could do that every Friday, take our show on the road and be with the people.
Okay, well, you're a boss man around there at the Colts. Why don't you make it happen? Say, hey, we're doing on-location stuff. Gorman's in town. He's ready to roll. Let's go, Maytay.
Yeah, just send me a list of watering holes you want to visit, and we'll just cold call them, see if they'll have us, right?
I love it. I love it. Maytay, these youngsters, man, and I call them youngsters, but they're young men, and I'm saying, like, every guy on this, the way that Chris Ballard conducted this thing, it sounds like everybody's got not only a chance to make the team, obviously, but come in and do work.
Well, I think you're right. I think the Colts accomplished exactly what they set out to going into the draft. They wanted to get more explosive, and they wanted to add more depth at key areas on the roster. So in that regard, check, right? They improved in the passing game, as you said, at the top of the draft with Alec Pierce and Jelani Woods. They added 2 really big playmakers who can stretch the field both vertically, take advantage of the middle of the field, the seam routes with Woods at tight end. Bernard Raimann, we forget about him. He's a guy that can be, you know, a potential cornerstone left tackle in the future. Then on defense, they added 2 really fast, athletic defensive tackles. They traded up in the 3rd round for a physical, rangy safety in Nick Cross. So I think it's a really good draft based on what the Colts needed and what was missing from last season.
Yeah, some big pass catchers and big fellas, too. A couple of those tight ends we're talking about, you know, between Woods and Ogletree. We're talking 6'7", 250-plus. I mean, those are bookend guys.
Both guys, yeah, exactly.
I mean, good. And then you pair them up with Mo Alie-Cox, and then you got Kylan Granson in the tight end room as well, man. I'm just saying, these guys, I love what these guys did. They're going to, you know, get on the field, and obviously the big body set that Chris Ballard is going for, that Frank Reich likes. I love it. I can't wait, and I hope all these guys, and I think you'll agree, are going to have an impact next season.
I think they will. I think especially from their top 3 picks, Pierce, Woods, Raimann, those guys will probably contribute right away. Pierce is definitely going to play a big part in the passing game, be that deep threat down the field with the speed, make contested catches. You know, if he gives you something in the neighborhood of a Zach Pascal from 2019, 2020, about 640 receiving yards, a couple of touchdowns, I think that's really a really good season for Pierce in his rookie season. Ryman's going to give you good depth at tackle. He'll likely start a few games at the very least, because we know offensive line depth is always relied upon throughout the course of a 17-game season.
Let's be honest. Raimann comes in. I think the job is his to lose. Obviously, I'm not dissecting the atom here, but I'm telling you, they get you in the 3rd like that. They're saying, hey, we got the position open at the left tackle, and you're the guy. Like, it's like, here it is. You're a starter. You think Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, Jim Irsay all kind of had that conversation together, said, we're going to plant that guy on the left side for 10 years?
Well, I think he's definitely part of the future. Now, that being said, as we all know, earlier this offseason, Chris Ballard is high on Matt Pryor, signed him pretty early on in free agency, wanted him to come back, and they think he can play left tackle. So I think he'll be in the mix He'll compete with Bernard Raimann for that spot, but they like his opportunity to take advantage of being the left tackle at the beginning of the season. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, obviously, you know, training camp's going to go a long way in deciding who starts there week one at that spot. So I think those three guys certainly are going to be factors. They're going to play starting roles. The rest of the draft, I think it's about depth, and it's about competing for roster spots. I think all of those guys can rotate at their respective positions, but the top end of the draft definitely needs to produce right away in 2022 at varying degrees.
Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. My name is Gorman, and I love the offseason for On Paper. Let's talk about On Paper. Who's the best team on paper? Well, let's put the Colts on paper right now compared to the last end of last season, Matt. How much better are they?
Well, I think they're one of the most improved teams in the NFL. Now that we've had free agency, trades, and the draft, I really think they're an improved team. And some people are going to say, well, how can you say that? Because they lost a lot of starters from last year's team. You know, several free agents leave for other teams who had been with the Colts for at least 4 years. And yeah, that's true. I get that. But the Colts have added top-end talent. Top-end talent at marquee positions this offseason. And they've been methodical in doing so. Matt Ryan, Unique Ngakoue, Stephon Gilmore, Alec Pierce, Jelani Woods, Bernard Raimann. The Colts needed more playmakers. They needed more game changers to go along with the depth of the team. And I think that's exactly what they've done this offseason. So big tip of the cap to Chris Ballard and his staff.
And you know who also agrees with you, Mate? Rick Venturi on Inside Football. He was asked the same question on a scale of 1 to 10. How improved is this Colts roster? Here's the coach.
I think they're an 8. Okay, I really think they're an 8, maybe an 8+. And I guess that's just the conservative nature of me. I can't.
Right.
I couldn't be happier at what has happened in this franchise since January 9th. This roster was always a solid roster, but it was a solid roster for the most part from the middle to the end. Mm-hmm. That's why our special teams are good. You know, Chris has always done a really good job on that second and third day. Where I thought we were lacking to take the next step was in that top 10 players on the roster that affected the game, that were playmakers that can affect the change of the game. And I think in the NFL, as much as the roster is important, the top 10 guys make it or break it. The six acquisitions that we've made, quarterback, edge rush, cornerback, top flight explosive outside receiver, top flight explosive tight end, mm-hmm. and potential left tackle, to me, those are top 10 game-changing acquisitions. It's a, you look at a tackle and you don't think of him as a game changer, but he's a game changer if he can keep a defensive end at bay.
Right.
So I believe where the improvement was necessary, and we, as you said earlier, you didn't necessarily see a path to this, but Chris has done a terrific job in putting this together, and I think we have added six impactive, and that's not to take away, because there's a lot of good people like McLeod, like the rest of those draft picks. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good people, but I think six guys that can be difference maker in the season, and to me, that puts you in contention now. Mm-hmm. That puts you in big-time contention.
Venturi's fired up. And you know what? On that first night that we were over at Kilroy, second night, rather, for the thing, you know he was just gleaming when Pierce came into the mix with big fella Jelani Woods. He loves Nick Cross. I'm saying this. If you get Venturi fired up, and he's going to tell you like it is, we got a good offseason, good regular season to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, Rick's going to tell you how it is, whether it's good or bad. And for him to give you an 8, as you just heard in that soundbite, an 8 out of 10 in terms of what the Colts have done so far this offseason and how much improved he thinks they are, that's a high number. That's high esteem coming from Rick Venturi, who we all know is a pretty tough critic.
Okay, we're talking a lot of rookies here on The Last Word. The draft choices, we haven't even gotten to the undrafted free agents that are coming in. We'll get to that down the road. Trust me, this has got a nice long offseason, getting ready for the late training camp up at Grand Park. We talked some rookies. Let's talk about some veterans right now. The offseason workout program, it rolled on this week. It entered phase two of that program. That means the coaches are allowed on the field now with the players. Individual drills, they take place. No offense for defense work just yet. How about this? Darius Leonard met with the media earlier this week. Like he does, he opened up about how challenging, I mean, he's going to open up to you. He's going to be real. He's going to be truthful. And he talked about how challenging last season was for him. He was battling an ankle injury all last year, which limited that rare athleticism that he shows. But he was also dealing with the loss of his cousin and a few of his family members that are facing health issues. Leonard has been open, like I said, for years and honest about his mental health in the past, starting with the tragic loss of his brother during college. Matt, we forget about mental and emotional toll that these professional athletes go through. You know, us fans, we expect them, hey, we got to play at a high level, get going, it's a game day, it's 100%. But life comes into play a lot, and a guy with as much talent as Darius Leonard playing hurt and with some heavy shoulders from some losses of family members, man, it's tough. I don't care whether you're a plumber or accountant or, NFL linebacker. That stuff hurts. You got to pull yourself together and work through it, and Darius does what he can, and not only that, he shares it with everybody. Talk about right. How he's dealing with it, which I love.
Yeah, it's always great to hear Darius talk and be so open. And yeah, he had that ankle problem all of last year, had surgery back in June to get it repaired, but just wasn't right all season, dealt with it the entire year. And then he was dealing with other things that just were out of his control. And it's easy to sometimes forget that these athletes are people with problems and lives of their own outside of the sports that they play. We just see them as guys making a lot of money, making plays on Sunday, and we think they're these gladiators, these robots that don't have feelings. But Darius has been, as you said, very open about his mental health. He's been a big advocate for the Colts and their efforts in this Kicking the Stigma campaign. And these guys are people, too, and they've got problems, they've got emotions, and they go through peaks and valleys just like the rest of us. So those comments this week were very candid, they were very refreshing, and clearly the ending to last season had an effect on him like it did for a lot of players on the Colts roster.
For sure. To check out Colts.com for the latest information. You talked about Kicking the Stigma. Big announcement coming this Monday. Big announcement regarding Kicking the Stigma. Darius Leonard, obviously, like you said, a big supporter of that, led by Mr. Irsay and his daughters. It's a great thing. And like I said, he's been a spokesman for him before. And here is Darius Leonard on the mental adversity that he had to fight through last season.
It was just a lot, man. Like, I had a surgery. The ankle was never healed. My dad got sick, my sister got sick, I lost a cousin, and then it was just a lot of things, little small things that was kept, just bugging me, and I just couldn't get over it. There was a lot of times where when I come in, it was more so just do your thing and just get on out. I wasn't really, smiling. I fell out of love of the game. I wasn't enjoying it anymore, and then I think it was more so the ankle frustration. It was to a point where I was just so like, when will it be better? When will I be close to 100? And, when you're a competitor and you want to be the best, you got to understand you got to make sure that your body's feeling amazing. And when it doesn't, you get upset with yourself. And we wasn't playing well defensively. I felt like we were too many times where in the second half we looked like crap. And, for a competitor as a leader, you want to be the best. You want to make sure that you're number one in all categories. And we wasn't close to that. And it wasn't up to my standards. And I was just upset with the whole situation. And I wanted to be better, and when I hold myself to a high standard, is sometimes, it can bear on you. In this profession, sometimes you feel like you don't have a say-so in your personal life just because, it's all football, and when you sit here and you feel like you got to hold a shade up with your personal life because of your football life, it eats you up, and I just wasn't in a good mental place because I couldn't be around my family whenever they needed it. So, yeah, it was tough, but, I learned from it. This offseason, I stayed away from ball for probably maybe 2 months, and, I realized that, I had to work on me. I had to work on me as a person. I had to work on me of, showing my emotions and not allowing people to allow people comments and stuff, to hurt me as much as, it did. So just learning to build that fence up and, take it more so as motivation instead of attack. So, just a lot of things there, but, I'm feeling good, feeling fine, feeling great. So just ready to get this season going, and hopefully we can be better this year.
A healthy Darius Leonard, physical in the body and between the ears. Scary. Scary guy, one of the best in the NFL. Obviously, I love it. Coming from a small-town kid, signing the big extension right there, taking care of those around him and playing the level of football that, gets him to Hawaii every year if they still played that stinking bowl over there.
Or I think it's Orlando now. He's going to Disney World.
I think it is. Well, anyway, you know he'll be there. Hey, we talked about it earlier with the next pick. It's behind-the-scenes video draft series. Episode 4 is out with a complete recap of the Colts draft and behind-the-scenes footage of the Colts War Room. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you. Dave Knickerbocker and his staff, as well as Chris Ballard being and Jim Irsay and Frank Reich being open for it, they give you behind-the-scenes look on this stuff about what goes through. Hey, the calls that are coming in from other teams. Hey, can we move this pick and get two more with it? I love it. Check out the final episode now on Colts.com. You can do it at the Colts mobile app as well and all of Colts social media channels. It is award-winning. Okay, when we come back, there's a football factory down in Cincinnati, and the guy running it is Luke Fickell. 9 of his Bearcats were drafted last weekend, including 2 right here in Indy. He's going to join us on the show, talk about what the Colts fans can expect from wide receiver Alec Pierce and big defensive tackle Curtis Brooks, who was drafted in the 6th round. This is The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. We'll be back.
This is your weekly fix on Colts football, The Last Word, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
That's right, The Last Word. We're back. Mag Tay, voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor. I am Gorman. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today. You make every moment more. Don't forget, you can download the weekly Colts official podcast featuring the latest news, analysis, insight, and interview. You know, you guys, did you take me off of that podcast, or what the heck's going on here?
Oh,
I'm
see,
stopping this
no,
thing. What,
so
what are
don't
we doing
start.
Here? I used to be a staple member of that podcast. I was on the thing, and you guys just kind of elbowed me out like you're getting a rebound.
See, you were an original member of the Beatles as far as the podcast is concerned, and then you just exited stage right for a good 3 months, pal. So if you want to come on, back and join the band, we'd love to have you.
I will. I had some throat problems, Matt, so I just had to deal with it a little bit.
No, but you know what? Every Friday, you seem fine.
I know. Isn't that funny? Hey, don't forget, it is. I will be back. Maytay will be back. Of course, Larry Overton, J.J. Stankovic, and all the guests that we'll have. Check it out. This week, they recap the Colts Draft Classic with ESPN's own Matt Bowen. Also have interviews up on there with the Colts draft picks shortly after they were drafted. Inside Football with Rick Venturi. We heard from the coach earlier. He'll give you a complete comprehensive breakdown on the Colts draft and how the rookies will be used schematically next season. I say it again, schematically next season. Good football term. Former NFL GM Jeff Diamond, he recapped the Colts draft and went around the NFL on Inside the Draft. We had one-on-one this week with Colts running back Nyheim Hines, who can't keep his tires inflated in Indianapolis. He also discussed about working with Matt Ryan and possibly playing more in the slot next season.
Wait a minute, what happened? What happened to his car?
I follow him on social media. I don't know what his handle is, but look it up. But Nyheim Hines has complained the last 2-3 weeks about his tires being blown out by potholes. And I guess yesterday, on Thursday, he tweeted, yeah, they got the 4th tire from the potholes. So, I mean, wow. I'm just saying, like, if I could talk to Nyheim, first of all, where are you driving? And second of all, how fast are you going?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Slow down,
I mean,
keep your head on a swivel.
Where is this war zone?
He's heading into year 5 in Indianapolis. This isn't new to him, right?
This is not new. Okay, great point.
Potholes in Indianapolis don't get filled until June.
Don't forget, you can hear everything on Colts.com, the Colts mobile app, and the Colts audio network. Anywhere you download your podcast, Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts right here. He had a minute earlier in the week. He sat down with Luke Fickell, the Cincinnati head coach, to discuss the Colts picking up 2 of his Bearcats in the draft, wide receiver Alec Pierce and defensive tackle Curtis Brooks. Fickell's running a football factory in Cincy. Here's the head coach.
Coach, first of all, congrats to you. Congrats to your program. 9 guys drafted on draft weekend. I guess let's start there. How much pride do you take in the fact that, hey, Cincinnati sends that many players to the league, which is a great barometer, good indicator of where your program is right now?
Oh, it's awesome, man. It's not a whole lot of things you kind of, at least for me, that I sit back and reflect upon. But when you see some of these things happen like this, in particular with 9 of them, but, you know, seeing these guys is, you know, passions become a reality. It's such a great example to all the guys that are around them. You're so proud. The unique thing is every one of those guys we've been with for 3 to 5 years. And to see that kind of growth over the time is really special. And I think that's, you know, for me, one of the big reasons why it's awesome to be at a place long enough to be able to see things like this happen.
Yeah, the Colts drafted Alec Pierce in the 2nd round, Curtis Brooks in the 6th round. Let's start with Alec. What did he mean to your program? He was a captain for you last year. That's always enticing for a team like the Colts that prioritizes those kinds of things. How big was he on and off the field for you and your program during his time at Cincinnati?
Oh, he's been one of the cogs to the things that we've done, and came in here and that, you know, after that first year, believed in what it is that we were doing. And, you know, we've kind of bounced him around. He actually moved from wide receiver to outside linebacker for, you know, a short period of time here, and then back to wide receiver. And mm-hmm. He's meant so much. He really, I mean, I think from last year to this year, took some incredible leaps and bounds with being a wide receiver. You know, before he was a deep ball guy, jump ball guy, great special teams guy, and to see him take the next step and with Coach Brown as coach and kind of really, you know, become a all around wide receiver for us meant, you know, so much. And, you know, for Desmond Ridder, the growth of Desmond Ridder, right. People don't realize it. Even as a quarterback, I mean, if you don't have some guys you trust that can get you into some rhythm. So it wasn't just the balls that he caught. It was the confidence that he gave our entire offense, especially our quarterback, that meant so much to everything that we've been doing.
And Luke Fickell is with us. He's the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats. You talk about Pierce shifting around there a little bit, coming out of high school, dabbling as a linebacker early on in his career. What does that say about his toughness? What does that say about his ability to just play football, be a football player at times when he just needs to go out there and make a play for his team?
I think that's where we really saw him grow. And I think as people started to dive into him, you know, and evaluating him mm-hmm. For the draft is where all of a sudden he started to climb so much, because they're like, wow, I mean, he played linebacker a little bit. Look at him on special teams. I mean, this guy, he's not just one of those, you know, so to speak, prima donna wide receivers. Hey, I run deep ball, throw me the ball. I mean, he does some of the things that aren't talked about. I mean, some of the ways he blocks and you know, the physicality that he can play with. I think this is where he takes himself to the next level. And to be honest, I told people in the process, I said, I think his best football is ahead of him. He's so intelligent that at the next level, the sophistication, not just to the offense, but the defense that they'll see, I think is where he'll excel even more.
That's Luke Fickell. He's our guest. He's the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats, with the Colts drafting two of his players in the draft, Alec Pierce in the second round, and then Curtis Brooks, defensive lineman, in the sixth round. But staying on Pierce, he had some really big games, but none bigger than that Notre Dame game this past fall. Six catches, 144 yards against a top 10 team. When did you realize that, hey, this guy, he can go high in the draft? He could be a special player potentially at the next level.
I think I told somebody the other day, I think it was after that game. I always knew he had the ability. I mean, he was going to test. He was going to be strong. I mean, he grew. But after that game, you know, to do it at the highest level in the biggest competitions and the biggest moments is when I thought that next step really took off mm-hmm. with Alec. And you know, to see him perform like that when we needed him so much, that's when I, like I said, I saw that, wow, this guy's got an incredible future at the next level, because when the competition grows, he gets better. And he did it throughout the entire season. He actually had some opportunities in the championship game against Alabama that maybe we couldn't get him the ball, but he really, I don't know if it was his confidence too continued to grow. I think our confidence in him and the quarterback, after that Notre Dame mm-hmm. game, I think he was a completely different player.
All right, let's talk about Curtis Brooks. In the sixth round, the Colts pick him up. 12.5 tackles for loss for you last year, 7.5 sacks from a defensive lineman position. I mean, those are just eye-popping numbers, but doesn't get invited to the combine, gets drafted in the sixth round late on day three, if you will. How satisfying was that for you to see him get picked up in the NFL, get some of that recognition that he deserves after kind of being under the radar and getting that combine snub this past winter?
Well, that was the most disappointing thing. It's hard to be disappointed when you have eight guys invited, right. But I was really disappointed for Curtis, because I felt like he was our defensive MVP. And I really do believe that. I mean, he did some of the unsung things. I mean, we asked him to play nose guard in most, you know, head up over the nose and play a lot of two gap stuff. For the team, and he did a phenomenal job at that. So he really kind of grew unselfish in what he was doing.
Right.
And, you know, just really from his junior to senior year, from last year to this year, he became the leader of that whole D-line room. And his play continue to grow, but his maturity and his ability to lead and be a big part of our locker room is where I thought he grew even more in this last year.
It's Luke Fickell, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats, and continuing on with Curtis Brooks. You know, he's a guy that took advantage of that extra COVID year, comes into the NFL at the age of 24, 6'2", 290, which some teams look at that and say that's pretty light for what we need. But a team like the Colts, they play that attack front now under Gus Bradley. They see that as a plus. We're going to get up the field and cause disruption in the backfield. How do you think he translates best to the NFL, and what situations can he shine here with the Colts?
I think that's what he is. He's, you know, we asked him to be something that maybe he, you know, for us, a 6'2", 290,
right,
he could be incredibly disruptive playing head up over a nose guard. But what he is he's a disruptive player. He's an aggressive attack guy. You know, he's naturally a three technique. That's why I think that he's got a great opportunity and a great shot because, you know, he didn't even do what, you know, his strengths are for us. And he was still obviously phenomenal and to me our defensive MVP. But when put in the right situation and allow him to be a little bit more aggressive, some people would say, you're right, 6'2", 290. Well, that's not all that big. No, but you can't teach power and you can't teach explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's two things that are going to be pop off and jump off right away at what Curtis Brooks is going to bring.
That's Luke Fickell with us, doubling back to Desmond Ridder. You brought him up in complimenting Alec Pierce, your outstanding quarterback. He goes to Atlanta in the draft. Talk about him. How happy are you for him, and what do you make of his situation as a rookie going to the Falcons?
Boy, I can't be more happy and more proud. I mean, I know that it can be disappointing sometimes in that whole process, and maybe you're going to be a first round or whatever, but the reality is all that he's done for us here. I mean, there's no way, even with all the other guys, Ahmad Gardner and mm-hmm. Curtis Brooks and all those guys, without Desmond Ridder for us and for all those other guys as well, because leaders make others around them better. And for me, you know, for us and what Desmond brought as far as leadership, changing an expectation and a mentality about winning, he meant so much, and I think helped all those other guys become what they are too. And I look forward to seeing him in the next level. I think he's, you know, in a unique situation that's going to give him the best opportunities because
right. He's
a competitor. And when put in really legitimate competitive situations, the kid is phenomenal. And I think that going in there, you know, having an opportunity probably to compete with a veteran, I think is going to be the best opportunity for him and is going to give him the ability to grow the most.
No doubt about that. That is Luke Fickell, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats. 9 Bearcats drafted. 2 of them go to the Colts. And final thing, Coach, I mean, Chris Ballard personally, general manager, I should say, of the Colts, he personally goes down to the workout, got a really good look at Ridder, got a really good look at Pierce. Then he calls Pierce afterwards to thank him for the workout and told him, hey, it's no surprise Cincinnati football is where it is as a program. You look around, and it's no surprise that you guys are in the college football playoff. You're in the Final Four. And I know you don't need to hear stuff like that from other people to validate what you're doing, but when you hear a GM say that, how much does that prove that Cincinnati football is indeed one of the best programs in the country here at the moment?
Well, it means the most. I mean, it means so much, you know. And you're the same thing. Is everybody legit? Are they just coach talk? Or,
mm-hmm.
But for Chris to actually come down, spend some time with our players like he did, evaluate them like he did, and you know, he's got a million guys to evaluate, a million calls to make, and then afterwards to call and kind of reiterate, you know, the things that he saw and what he believes in, meant so much to me too, and. So there's no doubt to me that they did their homework. They didn't just listen to what people said. They kind of took a lot of those things in,
right,
evaluated, spent a lot of time with our guys. In my mind, do it the right way. But for those guys, for him to call, for Coach Wright to call afterwards and just, you know, not only say, I see why you guys are good, but also to give you some feedback on your players. I appreciate them. It means the most. And, it makes me, obviously they're going to have our players, but even root for them more because they do it the right way.
Right. Yep. Right up I-74. That's Luke Fickell, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats. Coach, I know you are insanely busy, so I really appreciate the time to talk about Pierce and Brooks going to the Colts. And again, congratulations on a great draft weekend. Congratulations on all of your success and continued success there in the Queen City.
Well, I appreciate it. Those guys have meant so much and done so much for me. That's the least I could do. So I wish them the best of luck and you guys the best of luck as well.
You got it. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks to head coach Luke Fickell. Mate, you were good on that interview too, so thank you for that one, pal.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll take any bone you throw my way. All right.
That's what you do. We're going to take a quick time out here, giving you the Forum Credit Union question of the week regarding the Georgia Bulldogs setting a draft record. 15 of the Bulldogs were drafted last weekend. We're also going to talk about former Colts tight end Dallas Clark running in tomorrow's mini marathon. He's got a great cause behind it. Ryan Tannehill. Also, we're going to talk about his questionable comments this week in Tennessee and discussing the NFL's international games in 2022. Spoiler alert, we're not going anywhere overseas. All right, we're going to be back with, we're going to be right here in the States.
America,
more of the
let's
last
go.
Word. That's a, let's go, baby. I mean, that's a long trip. I don't care if you're going to Munich or London or whatever, we're staying here. All right, coming back with more of the last word, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.
This is your weekly fix on Colts football. The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
It is The Last Word. I am Gorman, joined by the voice of the Colts. That is Matt Taylor, who's here week in and week out. Matey, I want to get off the football field with you before we dive back in. There's a horse race coming up, and I mean an exciting horse race. It's one of my favorite days of the year. It's Kentucky Derby time.
Let's
Matey,
go.
Matey, just come out. Listen, there's some degenerates out there that are wanting any sort of insight. There are. I mean, they're listening, okay? And tomorrow they're going to bet. You know what I mean? Everything's done on your phone now. So I'm telling you, Matt Taylor, he's an incredibly gifted horseman, and he knows winners.
Yeah,
I mean, this cat is born and raised around.
You're speaking the truth, aren't you?
He was born and raised around thoroughbreds. Matey, look at the list. Do it quickly. Give me a – who do you think is going to win the Derby tomorrow?
Okay, at 20-1, it's Smile Happy crossing the line first. How about
Smile
that?
Happy.
How about that for insight?
All right, who's his jockey?
His jockey is...
not a clue. Look at him. Not a clue.
It is...
I love it.
Bruce Johnson.
Let's go, Brucey! All right, Smile Happy is Matey's pick.
Who you got?
I got Messier. I was born in the, I was born in the day when Mark Messier was doing his thing with Wayne Gretzky, and that horse is named after the great hockey man. And I want to do a quick imitation for you, if I can, really quick.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Ready.
Now, no one's ever heard of this guy, but he used to call the Detroit Red Wings hockey games. His name was Bruce Martin. So he did some of those games with Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier. Can I try it, or is this just out of line?
No, I mean, hey, it's your show. Let's go.
And down the left side, here comes Mark Messier, crosses the blue line, goes to Wayne Gretzky, and Gretzky with a drive. Oh, he almost stoned him right inside the crease. Anyway, that was just, oh my, a wild and woolly hockey game here in Motown. We'll be back here on WJR with 15,000 kilowatts of power, bringing you the latest Detroit Red Wings.
Now,
anyway, that's a bad imitation.
Now, what was that gentleman's name again?
Bruce Martin. Actually, I don't know how to do it with other players. I always did an imitation with Bruce Martin about when he'd do former Red Wing greats, and that was, of course, when they had the Russian unit. And it'd be like, here's Slava Kozlov over to Fetisov. Fetisov dropped it off to Larionov. Larionov over to Fenerov. Fenerov couldn't find the handle. He dropped it off to... Everyone was aloft there, so it was easy for him to do it, but it was great.
Now,
anyway,
see,
I'm sorry. That was a...
I don't know if that was good or bad, but I'm going to take your word for it because you are pretty accurate in terms of your other impressions that I know of, so I'm going to say that's pretty good.
I'm sorry. I just took an exit ramp there. Nobody knows who Bruce Martin is. You got to be like 50 years old to even consider knowing who Bruce Martin is.
Is that like the Don Fisher of Detroit?
Yeah, he was kind of the Don, been around forever and a legend. Yeah, I mean, that
okay.
sort of thing. But Bruce Martin, yeah, he had a nasally voice, Matt, and he spoke like this. He kind of talked through his nose. And here's Vaslav Nedomansky with a drive. I'm sorry, I'm wasting a lot of listeners' times here with Bruce Martin imitations.
It's Friday night, everybody's off work, they don't care. Anything goes, pal.
All right, sorry again for that bumpy off-ramp that we just took. It's time now for the Forum Credit Union question of the week. Them Georgia Bulldogs. And boys between the hedges. Do you remember Vince Dooley, by the way, or are you too young?
No, that one is not in my wheelhouse. Sorry.
Vince Dooley? Jeez.
I mean, I didn't grow up in the
Georgia
Southeast.
Georgia legend.
I understand.
Georgia legend. All right, I know. Well, Kirby Smart's got it going on down there right now. But listen, they set a record last weekend for players from one school selected in a 7-round draft. They finished with 15 players selected. Which school's record did they break, Mate? And it's real easy. You got to go to, like, you know, a couple of the top 7 programs in the nation, and the answers are right there. So go ahead.
So it's got to be a blue blood then, right? It's got to be like, I'm going to say Alabama.
Alabama is not there, but LSU had 14. LSU had 14 in 2020. That was a Joe Burrow draft. And don't forget, Ohio State in 2004, 14 players selected. So a bounty of LSU Tigers and Buckeyes, and in this case, Georgia Bulldogs were taken. And that current 7-round format began in 1994. There's your answer. How about that? 14 players was the old record, 15 this year from Georgia. Okay, the Forum Credit Union Fan Forum section of Colts.com. You can interact with the other fans online, post a topic, participate in various discussions regarding your Colts Forum Credit Union, helping members live their financial dreams and have a day they'll never forget. Let's bust out the grab bag to close out the show.
The NFL never sleeps. This is the NFL Grab Bag on The Last Word.
All right, this NFL Grab Bag brought to you by our friends at Meijer. Meijer, the official supercenter of the Indianapolis Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. Run, Dallas, run. I said the same thing when I read the story the other day. Former Colts tight end Dallas Clark is running in tomorrow's One America 500 Festival Mini Marathon. He's part of the Mini with a Meaning program to raise funds for children's hospitals, two of them to be exact. He's running in the Mini tomorrow as part of his preparation and training. You ready for this? He's going to compete in the Ironman Triathlon in Kona, Hawaii this fall. He's also partnering with the Ironman Foundation with a goal of reaching $2 million to support Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital and the University of Iowa Steed Family Children's Hospital. You know about that one as well. To donate to Dallas's cause this weekend, you can head to ironmanfoundation.donordrive.com. Again, if you want to support Dallas Clark, go to ironmanfoundation.donordrive.com. Mate, let's go over what this young man is going to do. Not tomorrow in the Mini. We know what he has there. But he has to run a marathon. He has to bike for 112 miles and swim 2.5 miles. Does that sound accurate?
That is pretty much accurate. It's 2.4 miles with the swimming. You bike 112, and then a full marathon at 26.2 miles.
And you do it in a day!
And he's already done a half Ironman. He did that in 5 hours and 40 minutes back in California last month. And he said his goal is to complete the full Ironman coming in October in under 12 hours. I mean, 112 miles biking, 26 miles running, and a swim competition at 2.4 miles in less than 12 hours. I just got tired reading that. This guy, I mean, it's unfathomable the shape and the athlete that Dallas Clark continues to be. That's beyond impressive.
He is a machine. We saw him down, last time I saw Dallas was at Peyton's induction at Canton. And again, he's a machine. I mean, he's a young guy as it is. I mean, football-wise, he's not, you know, couldn't play in the league now. But as far as overall life goes, I mean, he is a chiseled machine when it comes to keeping himself in shape. So to do all that, I have no doubt that that cat will finish that thing in less than 12 and a half hours. Are there quarterback problems in the Music City? I'm not talking about anybody else's players, okay? I'm not doing it, especially in the division. But there's something going on down in Tennessee right now, okay? The Titans drafted quarterback Malik Willis in the 3rd round last weekend. So Ryan Tannehill said that the Titans didn't notify him that they were selecting a quarterback, in this case Willis, and said, hey, I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, that's great. Do the Titans have a quarterback problem, Mate? Easy now. I don't like to talk about other teams, but seriously, do you like to hear that out of your starting quarterback?
Well, no, but I mean, I saw somebody on TV the other day put it pretty well. I think it was Robert Griffin III on ESPN. And, you know, it's not Ryan Tannehill's job to mentor his teammates. That much I agree with. But as the quarterback of the team, it is your job to lead the team and do what's best for the team. And that comes with the nature of the position, whether you like it or not. So saying you don't want to mentor another young player you know, sort of sends a ripple through the rest of the locker room and sends a message to everybody on that team about what kind of guy you are and what kind of leader you're going to be. So I know it sucks to deal with the storyline of another player possibly waiting in the wings to take your job. Tannehill's going into a contract year, but if you play at a high level and you produce, you got nothing to worry about. It's just like what's going on in Green Bay, or what did go on in Green Bay. The Packers drafted Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers hated that, didn't like the pick, but Love hasn't sniffed the field because Rodgers elevated his game and played at an MVP-type level. I understand it's a crummy situation for Ryan Tannehill, plus he's been dealing with the loss in the playoffs and throwing picks and kind of going into a dark place after that this past off season. But I did not like those comments. I thought he could have handled it better.
Yeah, exactly. I think that as well. But, at the same time we say that, we're not bagging the guy at all. I'm not here to bag the guy or nothing like that. But he said he's been going to therapy for a little while. The loss last year took a toll on him. Obviously, this didn't help with the team that he plays for, drafting a quarterback in an early round. So I get it. I do. I get it. It's a high-pressure position to play in the NFL. We got a rivalry with them, but they're doing something right down there in Tennessee. But we'll see him twice next year. Okay. Some more games internationally, they are set. Now, the first ever NFL regular season game in Gutentag, Germany, is set. Gutentag.
There you go. Have a nice day.
That's about all I know in Germany. Yeah, that is have a nice day. I screwed that one. The first game in Germany is set. Gutentag. That's what I meant to say. The Seahawks are going to face the Bucks at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, which I love. They do that on the West Coast, but now we get it. Early kickoffs when they go overseas like that. So that's going to be at 9:30 on November the 13th in München. That's right, in Munich, Germany. Additionally, the Vikings are going to play the Saints on October 2nd in London. The Giants are going to play the Packers October 9th in London. And the Broncos are going to take on the Jaguars October 30th in London. How about this? The 49ers are going to face the Cardinals in Mexico City on Monday Night Football on November the 21st. I love those games. They go crazy all anywhere that games are played overseas or in Mexico down. I mean, like, that's the place to be. I want this team to do it. I've had a couple experiences going overseas. One of them was Japan, play a preseason game back in 2004. I know that's, like 100 years ago. But I don't know when the Colts are going internationally, but what the heck. Last year I said it would be this year, so this year it's not happening. So I'm going to say next year, Colts fans. Yes. Look for the Colts to be back on the international stage in 2023. How about that?
Just a matter of time. I mean, 10 teams are going to play international games every year from here on out. So, you know, maybe next year, maybe the year after that, but it's going to be soon. So maybe the Colts are eating fish and chips in London, or bratwurst and pretzels in Germany, or maybe spicy tacos and some margaritas in Mexico City. Either way, all three of those, you can't go wrong.
Let's go. Hop on. Maybe we'll see you next year. Maybe we won't. All right, Maytay, voice of the Colts, also an internationally known horse wrangler. He knows his thoroughbreds. He likes Happy Smile. Is it Happy Smile? Who do you like? Happy Smile?
Happy Smile. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Happy Smile is his thoroughbred choice. I think it's Happy Smile. I'm taking Messier because of the great hockey player that it's named after. Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts. I am Jeffrey Gorman. Coming up next, we got ESPN Radio with Spain and Fitz. This is The Last Word. 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.